Okay, now I give you time for your questions. A lot of time.
I've been thinking about what you've just said here recently, and it struck me that because I spend all my time knowing through the mind, I can't in any way imagine that there's any other way to know. And this is this sort of bondage to the mind. It seems that there's no other way of knowing except through the mind, by the mind.
You're not knowing by the mind, but through the mind. Through the mind means, see, you're not using mind as an instrument to know the, which means you don't, when you are using the mind as an instrument means, but in the mind is not used as an instrument of knowledge of the self. Which means self is not, doesn't become, self doesn't become an object of the thought. If you say, suppose anything in the world you know, you are using your mind only. Without the mind, the knowledge means mind. Cognition means mind. Isn't it? Without the mind, no knowing is possible. It's a functional mind. There's no knowledge without the functional mind being there. In sleep, mind is non-functional. Still there's no cognition, there's no knowledge. Therefore, even in dream, mind is semi-functional. But even then, external perception is not there. So whatever is there only just is perceived. There's knowledge of what is already stored in your mind. Only in the waking, you know the external world, because the mind must be functional for the vrittis to be there, thereby the manifestation of consciousness is possible, then consciousness plus vritti becomes knowledge. Isn't it? So knowledge is possible. That when you say the object known is a thing known is an object of the thought, perception. Then you can say, I use the mind to know the external object or any subtle object also. So mind is through the mind, by the mind means I should understand no thing known is an object of thought, perception. But when you Atma, when you say, of course, to know the Atma also, mind is very much important. That's what we saw in the fourth mantra of the second chapter of Kena Upanishad. Pratibodha Viditam. Is it? That is what we understood. Without the mind, without the thoughts, you can never know the Atma. But not as an object of mind, but as the very swarupam of the mind is a big difference. You got it? See, for any knowledge, you need mind is a must. There's no mind, no thoughts, no cognition, no knowledge is possible. Functional, fully functional mind must be there for perception, knowledge, cognition. And then the thing known is what? An object of knowledge of the mind, object of perception. Whereas for this self-knowledge also, you need to use the same mind, but the self, when you arrive at the self which is known with the help of the mind is not known, not like any other object of knowledge. But self, you understand how? Self as the very swarupam of the mind.
But that understanding is not like the normal understanding. Because sometimes when I listen to you, or when I used to listen to Swamiji in India, in Rishikesh, and sometimes if I'm reading Shankara, particularly Ashram Shankara, then if there's something there, and suddenly the mind will, it's almost as though it dissolves, and it doesn't know what's being read or heard as an object, but it knows it. It absolutely knows it, that it's true.
That means that is what problem is. Understanding is okay. When you talk about, okay, everything is Brahman, Brahman is of this existence, existence is one, existence is all-pervasive, existence is indivisible, existence is independent. We know all the nature. That's fine. That is Brahman. Hey, you had to say what now? I am that existence, that I am is, you have not resolved the I. The I is resolved in what you are seeing, analyzing the Swarupam. Only then you can be there. See, what happens sometimes, we analyze the nature of reality. Brahman is limitless, Brahman is everything. That's fine. To understand initially, we have to learn like that. Then you have to say what I am, that Brahman should come. That's what I'm saying?
But that is revolution. It's as though the I.
If that comes, it means you are aware of not only you are, what you are also. See, sometimes the study helps you understand certain things. Then, oh my God, then you so deep into it, the thoughts resolve. Like meditation. See, what you're contemplating on also becomes, even though Brahma Swarupa you're contemplating also. Now, you're analyzing. Still, if you're not seeing that Swarupa as your own Swarupa, then only thought resolves till you are not aware of what you are actually. Understand?
So that's the only time it actually happens, when it's you or Shankara talking about my Swarupa. That's when it happens.
Yeah.
When it's an almost an acknowledgement that that's the truth of it.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, I know I must have asked it before. Is that I, that resolution of the I, does that take place in the mind, or is the I something separate from the mind?
Pardon?
Does that resolution where the I recognizes that it is consciousness, what is that recognition?
See, recognition is understanding this. See, recognition actually is another vritti, jnanam, that is. Another knowledge takes place in your mind, that actually I is nothing but manifestation of consciousness in a given thought, given vritti. That's all. That's another cognition takes place. Another understanding takes place. This I actually is nothing but manifestation of consciousness in a given thought. That is why people always say, what is the highest form of manifestation of consciousness? Every experience, for example, every experience is thought with manifestation of consciousness. Isn't it clear? Consciousness alone cannot become experience, knowledge or cognition. So thought by itself also being inert in nature cannot become experience or cognition. Both consciousness and thought together become what? Knowledge or cognition or perception or any emotion, any experience. It can be experience of the external world or experience of the sense powers, or experience of the very emotions, jealousy, hatred, etc., which are also in the form of thoughts only. Any experience is consciousness plus thought. Consciousness with the thought constitute what? Experience. Like, experience of opaque means, okay, excellent, okay, illumination of the opaque. When you say light plus opaque, opaque alone cannot become illumined. Light by itself is what? Just the light. I give another example, the bulb and electricity. Electricity by itself cannot become the light, illumination, without the bulb. The bulb without electricity by itself cannot become the illumination. So illumination implies two things together, isn't it? The invisible electricity passing through the manifest in the bulb, visible bulb, becomes what? Illumination. Similarly, experience means the inert thought by itself cannot become experience. The thoughts arise, part of the function of the mind anyway, thoughts arise, but once the thought arises, there is already consciousness. Consciousness does not come and go, isn't it? The thoughts come and go. When the thoughts come, there is manifestation. Thoughts go, there is no manifestation. Thoughts go, there is no manifestation, there is just the consciousness, but therefore there is no experience. In deep sleep state, consciousness is, thoughts are resolved, therefore what happens? There is no cognition, or the world cognition, or I cognition. This is self-experience. Atma-jnanam and atma-jnanam, nothing is there. Whereas in waking, the thoughts come, so consciousness doesn't go and come, already there, isn't it? Thoughts come, then there is the consciousness, when the thoughts come, consciousness gets the status, illuminator status comes, isn't it? And it's also called what, manifest consciousness. The adjective manifest, you add when? In the presence of thoughts. Thoughts go, what is it? Consciousness. Thoughts come, manifest consciousness. Thoughts go, just the consciousness. A pure consciousness. Isn't it? So together alone become what? Experience. Therefore, now what is this I? Why do we say here, any experience is possible only if there is self-experience, isn't it? If you do not know you are, you cannot say, I do not know I am or not, but I know that Elisa is here, you know, Pratik is sitting here, every next to me, you know, I know this Ben is here, but I don't know whether I am here or not, I am or not. It's not possible. For you to know anything else is or is not, you must be there. Something is not, something is existent or non-existent, isn't it? I mean, presence or absent. For both, is a presence is, absence is, isn't it? To know the isness, existence of presence or the absence, first who must be there? You must be there. So I am is what? I am itself is cognition. I am is cognition. Self experience. I know I am means what? Self experience. I know the universe is what? Universe experience. I know my keys, I know this is, that is, means what now? Anything, any experience of anything is possible, whether subtle or gross, there must be what? I am. Is it clear now? Therefore, I am is a cognition, leave alone other things now. That's why we say, I am is the dead end of the mind. I is the dead end of the mind. Aham vritti. And there, I am is a cognition. Why it is I am, this knowledge, the self-experience, is not there in deep sleep state? I am there in deep sleep state. But what is, when I am there, not knowing I am, what does it mean? I am as good as non-existent, isn't it? In sleep I am, not knowing I am. There's no self-experience, isn't it? Why there's no knowledge in deep sleep state? Because there is cognition of the why. Because simple thing is, there is no manifestation of consciousness. Consciousness is, why there is no manifestation? What is manifestation? Manifestation means, if the thought comes, consciousness gets the name manifest consciousness. Thought is not there, just the consciousness, isn't it? The thought is not there. Vrittis are, thoughts are not there. Thoughts are all resolved. It's like, what is pure light, what is reflected light? The opaque object is there, light is reflected light. Opaque is taken away, what is there is what? Same light, isn't it? We call it pure light. We only call pure light and reflected light in keeping with the presence and absence of opaque things. Similarly, in keeping with the presence and absence of thoughts, we call the consciousness as manifest consciousness and pure consciousness. There is no such thing called manifestation of consciousness and a pure consciousness. What is there is just the consciousness. So what comes and goes here? The mic was not here until Rodney ji came here. There was just the light and space. And now the light mic has come here. Again, the same space, the light will be there. Mic will go away. The mic is brought in here. Now I call it reflected light in front of me. I experience, understand now what I'm saying? The mic is taken away, there's pure light. The same light. Similarly, in the presence of thoughts, that there's a function of mentation. This is a time the thoughts arise. Time the thoughts resolve. All the thoughts resolve, mind becomes non-functional. There's no cognition, there's no experience. The experience is there, but the experience of the self is not there. Experience of the world is not there. I am is not known. The world is not known. Is it clear? When the thoughts come, that is cognition. Therefore, what we understand, actually, what is that in that cognition, we really separate. The thought and consciousness are not separable, isn't it? So we use here, we separate the consciousness from the thought. And we can never understand, the pure consciousness is never recognizable. Is it clear? Because even for I am, manifestation is required, isn't it? Therefore, resolving I means another cognition takes place. What is the cognition? That this consciousness alone is manifest as I in a thought. In the thought is absent, the consciousness, isn't it? The I is not there. I am there, but how? There's no cognition. I am there with the cognition in waking when the thought comes. When the thought goes, I am there without the cognition. When I am there without the cognition, what am I? When the thought comes, I am. Listen, no. When the thought comes, what is this I am? I am consciousness with the cognition. Is it clear now? So it's only just another cognition takes place. That's called akhanda, akara, vritti, jnanam. Resolving means what? That's not physical, isn't it? You just understand, my God, this I is nothing but manifestation of consciousness in a given vritti is I cognition. But what am I here? should take, should I identify the I should be resolved in the thought or in the consciousness. You got the point what I'm saying? It's called resolving, understanding. That means, isn't it? The thought is not there also, what am I? I'm pure consciousness. When the thought comes, what is it? Manifest, isn't it? Thought is there also, I am consciousness. Thought is not there, not there also, I am consciousness only. But if the manifestation is there, then that I don't remain as I, as I am, isn't it? Identify, I am is fine. Identified with the mind becomes what now? I become a jiva. If you say I am, fine. I know I am. Stop there. Or if you know I am Brahmasmi, I am consciousness, that's fantastic. But I am the body, I am the mind, I am the sense organs. I don't say it, okay, but I have my identity with everything else other than what I am really. Is it clear now? Well, what are you actually? This is only, this resolution of I in consciousness means, is another cognition takes place that actually understanding this is. It is a very unique sort of different comprehension. Some comprehension should happen. It's typically like, you know, because everything, when you give any example, it's very easy. Because all objects, isn't it? Like the example of electricity and bulb, fine. Like the example of light and opaque, fine. When I say I and thought, I actually am consciousness. Whether the cognition is not there. The vrittis rise also. Where are the vrittis? I am aware of thoughts, isn't it? I am aware of everything. So they are in me only. Even if vrittis are resolved also, the vrittis are not there also, I am aware of vrittis being not there. But because there is no I am cognition, I cannot talk about the my being aware of thoughts. I had to wake up from sleep. I had to come back, isn't it? Then I had to talk about that I had the experience of ignorance. I did not know anything. Isn't it? Which means you were there in sleep, you are there in dream, you are there in waking, always as I, aham, aham, aham iti. Sada bhati. The shine always shines as I am. Without cognition, it is there in deep sleep state. With the cognition, if the dream cognition is there in dream, and with the, you know, the waking, if the waking cognition is there. So it's purely intellectual, the cognitive thing, that you separate consciousness from the manifesting medium thought. Then how? Intellectually, cognitively only. So here another cognition, Rajaji. Another this understanding, this a cognition rises actually of the consciousness being manifest as I in a given thought. Therefore, actually, I, that's why you don't need to leave this am away. Just use I is. The am is the problem here. Don't use am here. Another cognition arises. That cognition we call what now? Akhanda akara vritti jnanam. Where you see I being limitless reality, the consciousness. And the cognition is of what? The cognition for which the object of cognition is what? not an object. The object of the cognition is the very I. Understand? The subject. Object of cognition is I, the subject, the knower. I, the knower, the subject of cognition, itself becomes the object of that cognition, wherein you understand, there is understanding that this I is actually consciousness. I think you have to keep the am for some time away. Then I can teach properly. Doesn't matter if you sound grammatically wrong. I is consciousness. The thought is, then you gave it what we call it a manifest. Thought is not there, pure. Or you can just say consciousness. Even the both these adjectives are not necessary, actually speaking. There is no such a thing called a pure light and a reflected light. There is just the light. But we unnecessarily have to add these adjectives, pure light as, you know, the word pure to the light and the reflected to the word light. The two qualifications are unnecessarily added in keeping with the presence and absence of the opaque. There is no illuminator light, just the light. Light is things get illumined. But again, illuminator status is from where? From the standpoint of what? The illumined. There is no illumined object. Then how can you call somebody, give a status to this light? Isn't it? Therefore, what is similar here also, the consciousness actually, is there is no such thing called pure consciousness or manifest consciousness. It's just the consciousness. Therefore, the manifestation, every experience is manifestation, then every experience is what? Nothing but a vritti. And with manifest consciousness. Vritti with the consciousness is what actually? Experience. Therefore, what I am is what? I am cognition is what? Vritti with consciousness only. So the vritti goes also, I am still there. In sleep. In sleep I am, in death also I am. In death also I am like how I am in sleep, so I am in my death. How I am in death, so also in Mahapalaya and dissolution also I am like that only. I'll be in dissolution, I'll be in Mahapalaya, Pralaya and Laya. In sleep, how I am. Am I there or not? If you are not there in sleep, how can you come again? I am. You were there, that's why you are coming as I am. After death also, what now? You will be like how you are in sleep. Again you come back, I am, but not the same body. The new body. And the old, people talk about 2012, you're still alive, isn't it? The new age people were talking, oh my God, everything is going to perish and then there'll be, the whole world will perish. Everything is going to fall. So what? Vedantis need not be afraid of anything. We will be how we are in sleep, even if there is deluge, dissolution, total dissolution of everything, destruction of everything. Even then, 100% we can be sure that we will be how you are in sleep. You not knowing you are, not knowing what is happening to others. But we all want to know. See, I am safe and you are, look at this, they're all dying now. That you can't see. You will not know what you are. So, you will be, isn't it? You can't know what the world is also. But again, you will come back. Because you are indestructible reality consciousness. That experience in deep sleep state is the proof for what? Your being there as the experiencer. Because you are there. You are there. And what your ignorance is evident to you. The bliss is, no? Blissful ignorance is evident to you. There's no pain and pleasure. There's experience. And there's an experiencer also. But without the differentiation, I am the experiencer, this is experienced. The division, without the experiencer experienced division, without the division, you are there. Understand? Knowing. Therefore, you are able to recollect that experience and you can talk about it the next day. Which means, I am, in that I am, what is that? Consciousness. Just take that I am or I itself. I or I am as cognition or experience, which means, take away the vritti, what is there is consciousness. That consciousness is always, does not come and go, always there. The thought comes, I know I am. This cognition. Thought goes, I am without cognition. Thought comes, I know I am. Thought goes, I am not knowing I am. Thought comes, I am knowing I am. Thought goes, I am not knowing I am. I do not go and come. What comes and goes is the thought. What comes and goes is cognition. Because of the going and coming of the thoughts. That going and coming thought being object of your knowledge, you are different from the going and coming thought. So you are non-going, non-arriving, non-departing consciousness. You means what? I is consciousness. Why do you say I is consciousness? Because thought is arrival of thought, departure of thought is object of knowledge. Presence of thought, absence of thought is object of knowledge. How do you know? Because cognition, presence of cognition, absence of cognition is object of thought. Object of knowledge. Which means, who is the one? Who is the knower there then? Presence of cognition, absence of cognition, in keeping with the presence of thought or absence of thought, knowledge is object of knowledge, isn't it? Ignorance is object of knowledge. The presence of cognition is object of knowledge, isn't it? The absence of cognition also is what? Presence of knowledge, presence, absence of knowledge. I am, knowledge is there. I am, knowledge is not there. Both are what? Presence of knowledge, absence of knowledge. Presence of cognition, absence of cognition. That are the knowledge or cognition which comes and goes is called what? Vritti jnanam. But what is that who is aware of the knowledge and knowledge being present and knowledge being absent? That is what knower. The knower of the knowledge being present and the knower of the knowledge. Okay, knower of the knowledge is consciousness, pure knowledge. So pure knowledge is distinct from the manifest knowledge, the cognition knowledge. Is it clear now? I think very subtle thing I've said.
In sleep, you say, I am not knowing I am. There's no vrittis,
No, no vrittis means aham vritti is not there.
Okay, aham vritti is not
there. See, whatever vritti is not there, that cognition is not there.
Okay.
See, in sleep, you can ask me, suppose, for any experience, there must be vrittis.
Yeah.
Thought must be there, isn't it? Like, suppose we need light in this room, electricity is available, but still there's no bulb means? You can't illumine this room. So illumination is dependent on both things, light and electricity, bulb and electricity. So here also we say, in deep sleep state, thoughts are not there, means what? Whatever thoughts are not there, that cognition is not there. The world is, thought is not there. Therefore there is no cognition, there is no knowledge that the world is. There is no experience that the world is. I thought is not there. So book thought is not there. Mike thought is not there. The world thought is not there. In fact, to say that all the thoughts, I thought is not there, therefore idam thought, the universe is, the thought also is not there. The vritti is not there, therefore there is no cognition. But in sleep, what vrittis are there? That experience is there. There is total ignorance vritti. Ajnana vritti is there. Thought in the form of total ignorance. What is total ignorance? You do not know you are, you do not know what you are. You do not know the universe is. You do not know you are, you do not know the universe is. That not knowing I am, not knowing the universe is what? Total ignorance. Ignorance of the self, ignorance of the world. Totally, isn't it? There is total ignorance. That vritti is there. Therefore, this experience of total ignorance. And there is also what? No, experience of bliss. Bliss vritti is there. Bliss means absence of experience. Therefore, there is bliss, we say. So, you experience those two. There is experience. But you cannot talk about what you are experiencing. Therefore, experiencing is not an action there, isn't it? Again, this is the nature. Light is opaque shines. Consciousness is whatever experience is that is possible. What vritti is that shines. Ignorance is ignorance shines. Absence of experience is that absence of experience shines. Therefore we assume, what we assume actually, really, we clearly understand. Next day morning, I am able to recollect that experience means that experience, who had the experience? But not as an action, isn't it? Experiencing, being aware of what is the very nature of I. Ignorance is, I am aware of ignorance. Bliss is, I am aware of bliss. Dream is, I am aware of dream. The world is, I am aware of world. But when can you talk about it? Only when there is experience that I am. That is why in deep sleep should experience is. But the experience, you cannot talk about the experience as you are experiencing. You have to wake up from sleep and to talk about the experience.
For a jnani though, ignorance experience is not there.
I tell you one thing. For a wise person, for an ignorant person, all of them are in sleep the same. In sleep, there is no such a thing called wise person and ignorant person in sleep. In sleep, all are, that's where you can be happy. Once you fall asleep, your physics professor, botany professor, geology professor, graphic designer, webmaster, all of us are one, swamini, you know, sannyasini, grihastha, vanaprasthi. There is no difference. All of us are knocked off. this person is knocked off in sleep. Okay, a rogue is knocked off. Wise person is knocked off. Highly civilized person is knocked off. In sleep, we are all one and the same. At least we can say, in sleep, I am as good as a wise person. You can feel very proud that way. In sleep, there is no difference between me and wise person, okay? This is good, isn't it, to know that?
And then?
You were thinking that in sleep, wise person is different.
No, huh? I was just thinking that that obviously conscious is not an object of experience. As long as I seems to be there, I seems to be having...
It's only understanding, isn't it?
Huh?
Yeah, so tell me, I?
I seems to... As long as I is there, I seems to be different from the object. So for a jnani, in the waking, is there an I thought still? I...
See, for a jnani, definitely, as long... For a wise person also, there'll be... I sense will be there, but I sense will not be... Then there's I sense without the identity, wrong identity. There's an enlightened ahankara will be there. See, I am, that knowledge is there in Ajnani, that knowledge is there in Ajnani. But in Ajnani, I am Brahman, that understanding is not there. In a wise person, aham Brahmasmi, that knowledge is there.
But isn't it?
Without the I sense, how can he understand that he is Brahman?
But, see,
I sense is the thing, you should know you are, only then you can know what you are, isn't it? I sense means intellectually alone ahankara is resolved. Cognitively alone resolve the ahankara. I sense will be there, but it will not be bloated ahankara, it will be resolved ahankara. That's called enlightened ahankara is what now? Resolved ahankara. Aham Brahmasmi, knowledge is there. Resolved actually.
But you see, I mean, if I understood what you said earlier, meant some time before, that the last vritti that arises is the akhandakara vritti.
Not the last vritti, I said.
Then? After akhandakara vritti arises, then.
No, akhandakara vritti jnanam.
Okay.
Knowledge arises. Yeah.
After akhandakara
vritti. Akhandakara vritti jnanam is nothing but seeing the self being limitless reality, the consciousness. Which means the object of that knowledge is free from limitations, divisions. See, every object other than consciousness is what? Subject to divisions, isn't it? It's all divisible, objects only. But consciousness is the only vastu which is free from divisions and limitations. When the knowledge of self being consciousness arises, so the knowledge for which the object is the very subject, the conscious, the I, which is consciousness, the consciousness being akhandam, one indivisible reality, we call that knowledge akhandakara vritti jnanam, that's all. Okay, that doesn't mean after that vritti jnanam, what did he say?
Where then is what happens to the I in that? I mean,
akhandakara vritti jnanam is just the cognitively resolving ahankara, that's all, nothing else. What happens, you ask? Nothing.
Yeah, but,
no, akhandakara vritti jnanam, rise mipitiji, then the knowledge will be firm there, isn't it? It's like how you will never forget what. See, the knowledge, once you know that illuminatory is light, means if you resolve the illuminator in the light, finished. Then you remain with that vision, isn't it? That becomes unforgettable knowledge. That knowledge will be there always. That's why yesterday we studied also in Bhagavad Gita. In a yogi, you know, madbhaktaha, isn't it? Madbhavaha. So with the person who lives with that wisdom throughout his life, what happens for him? He resolves that. No, he dies with that knowledge, isn't it? The fact becomes unforgettable. unforgettable knowledge of the fact it becomes. That's all. But other transaction, everything will be there. There'll be I. I will go when? Only after death. Ahankara must be there. Without ahankara, ahankara will be there as long as one is endowed with the body maintenance complex. But ahankara, if it is enlightened mind, enlightened ahankara obtaining in enlightened mind, we call what now? Enlightened ahankara. Isn't it? Really speaking, I doesn't get enlightened. The mind, this enlightenment happens in the mind.
So, excuse me, a few minutes ago, consciousness is present as the I in every thought.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Does that mean that in the case of the wise man, with his minimized ahankara, for him that I in every thought, just that consciousness in every thought, manifesting as I in every thought, that is exactly the same as ahankara, as far as he's concerned? It is that minimal?
Ahankara, Rajniji. Ahankara is nothing. Ahankara is Sanskrit word for the eye cognition. Eye cognition, that's all. Eye cognition is ahankara. Understand? Eye cognition is called ahankara. I am. Cognition is ahankara. But daham, I am body. I am mind. I am unhappy. Except what now? Wrong notion about the self. Is it? Which is also called ahankara.
Okay.
Ignorant ahankara.
Put my question another way. When you say that the wise man, when going about his daily affairs, he has a sense of I, that sense of I never gets more than this very simple awareness of the I of every thought. Is that how it is?
Yeah. Just awareness, which is awareness because of which all the thoughts shine. Is just myself. I am the awareness.
Another thing you said that really struck me was yes, you can understand all this and that, so on and so on, but then you go about your daily life and you behave as though it's just a theory. And you said something to the effect that one has to remember what one has understood.
Yeah.
And I hate to use the word practice or apply because I'm going to be smacked down for it, but there is, in some sense, one has to remember, which is a kind of practice.
That's a contemplation. That's a contemplation.
Nididhyasana. Yeah, exactly. That's just my question.
Yeah, okay.
That effective is nididhyasana.
Yeah.
Right.
See, we call a person only after nididhyasanam. After nididhyasanam, see, shravanam mananam itself gives one knowledge. But the knowledge which resolves the ignorance does not make one still wise. You know? See, the knowledge which helps the ignorance, which resolves the ignorance. Shravanam and mananam blesses one with this knowledge of the self, isn't it?
Yeah.
Knowledge of the self being Brahman. That knowledge helps one, what now, to resolve the ignorance of the self. Therefore, ignorance born error also. It helps one to resolve. But still, that knowledge which one gains, that I am Brahmasmi, I am limitless reality, that knowledge, even though it resolves the ignorance, still the error continues to be there. The correction of error, isn't it? How can, only in ignorance error is possible, in knowledge error cannot be there, isn't it? But that is why we work very hard to do shravanam and mananam, we gain the knowledge of the self. Once you gain the knowledge of the self, then ignorance goes. But once ignorance goes, ignorance caused error should go. But error continues to be there. How do you know error is still there? because the effects of error are still there. The consequences of error. Now, like how before studying Shastram, before gaining the knowledge, before having resolved the ignorance, what all problems we had, the same problems continue to be there after knowledge also, which means not that you are still ignorant. Okay, you have got the knowledge, but the error continues to be there. It is not because of the ignorance now. This error is because of not remembering what you have known. Not being able to remember what you have known is what now called habit. Therefore, the habit, because of that habit, okay, old habit of always firmly having identity with the body, mind, the problem says, I am this, isn't it? Long old habit. That habit also causes the error. Ignorance caused error is removed by Shravanam and Mananam. Habit caused error has been removed by Nididhyasanam, contemplation. Which means the knowledge you have gained with a lot of effort should become unforgettable knowledge. Which means ascertained knowledge. Wherein your habit becomes changed.
And that takes practice.
Yeah. There you can use the word practice, no problem. See, the thing is, knowledge of the self is not the practice, isn't it? Knowing the illuminator's light is not the practice, isn't it? Just the knowing. But having known illuminator's light, but not the illuminator's light. Illuminator's light. Illuminator's light. This what now? Mental activity, isn't it? Then Nididhyasana is a mental activity. Therefore, for knowledge, that's why people, a lot of confusion about meditation. Idea of meditation is, anyway, when I start next class, I'll really make you understand. I'm thinking really we had to really start this. I don't really emphasize meditation because all of them are already doing japa, manasa japa, which is, people call it mantra meditation. And I call it manasa japa. All of them have got mantra upadesham, they all already doing japa.
But what is mantra is not what the tradition called mantra, okay? Everyone may have some sounds, but that is not what, that is not Saguna Brahma. It's not a Saguna
Something
Brahma.
They're holding on to, okay.
It's just by the sound. It's not
now
the
we will
same.
In our class, that's why we in our introduction to Vedanta class, which we will start next week, I'll cover all these things. I'll go really step by step. I'll cover. See what happened, lots of things now we cover in that. Preparation is very good, important. Of course, you would have heard a lot of things, but putting them in right order, isn't it, will help. See, in India, in front of temples, many beggars sit. And then they live the beggarly life for many, many, many years, 30, 40 years of beggars. And then these beggars somehow manage to collect some coins and they get someone, buy one lottery ticket. And one beggar becomes rich, overnight millionaire. Just the one ticket, previous day he buys, the next day his number comes in the paper and then he becomes rich, millionaire. And suddenly, what happens, all the status, the position, why should he be sitting anymore, with along with beggars? And he becomes a different person and he state completely, you know, from some ordinary beggarly life to, it's a really leap, it's a big leap. Like jumping, like a high jump, is it? Big jump. So, after some time, as a rich man, he comes to the same temple He comes to the same temple. And he comes in a car. and he doesn't drive, his driver is driving, and he comes completely in a really gorgeous, really highly gorgeous silk dress, clothing and all that, having all the rings. In India, rich people, they really show, they have to wear lots of rings and things to distinguish themselves being people of royal families, all 10 fingers rings. And he comes and gets down. And that time, the fellow beggars, once upon time, who were his fellow beggars, they're still there, no? He gets down and he's supposed to go to the temple. And as he's walking, he completely, you know, and he saw them all. Oh, my own friends, all of them, no? He saw them. But one person came, some other person came, and he was distributing some prasad, laddus, some sweet laddus, some sweet thing, okay? He was just distributing. So all these beggars ran, you know, to collect the laddus. You know, for me, you know, I had to get it. You know how India, they become beg like this. For me, all of them were really stretching their hands like this. This rich beggar, why I call rich beggar, not rich man? Because even though he is really rich now, he just forgets that he is rich. He runs to the person and he also does really ask for laddu. You know, why should he go and do that? Does he know that he is rich or not? He knows he is rich now. Does he know he is not a beggar now? He knows. But still, why did he make the mistake of running towards the laddu? Because he forgets the fact which he knows, that he is no more a beggar, he is rich. That forgetfulness is because of his old habit of sitting and begging for many, many years. This is called habitual error. Understood what I'm saying? So what does person do now? Again, not to the same mistake. To avoid that error again, what should he do? He should say, he knows the fact, I am not the beggar. He knows the fact, I am rich. He is not simply, okay, he should remind himself, I am rich. I am rich. I am rich. I am really rich. Keep on has to remind himself of the fact which he knows. Without knowing he is rich, even if he is rich, if he simply says, I am rich, I am rich, I am rich, means he is mad. Or without having become rich also, without knowing he is rich also, he simply says, I am rich, I am rich, I am rich, he is mad. But he knows, he should know, I am not the beggar. He should know, I am rich. This fact which he has understood, he knows. And afterwards he feels ashamed, my God, what a thing I did. Why did I run with other people? I am a rich person now, I should not run like other beggars. So hereafter, what should I do now? Why did I do it? Because of my old habit, you see. Because I was sitting all with all my fellow being friends are going and writing. Nah? They reminded me of completely, I forgot. Over, isn't it? Forward. Just forgot about that. Why? Because this I am rich knowledge, I am no more a beggar knowledge, recently attained knowledge. But what was my problem? How many years of begging, isn't it? The habit. Is it clear enough? Therefore, habit caused error also still makes you what now? Unwise, otherwise. Only this habit called for which you need contemplation. She got it. It's a beautiful Swamiji's own created story.
It is just
all Swamiji's stories are very beautiful. So habit has, that's why people get very, I'm not able to experience something. After knowledge, still I'm the same. I mean, something has to happen again.
Why, for some people, renunciation can be useful. We take away from that environment.
Mm. actually, renunciation is not after knowledge, isn't it? After knowledge, yes, renunciation is only cognitive.
No, if you're contemplating, but you're away from that environment, would it not be useful? Where you have, like the beggar went to the temple and broke this habit up again.
Renunciation is not required here. Contemplation is what required. Actually, contemplative life is life of renunciate. One who is contemplative is renunciate. There is no such thing called something renounced, actually. Being contemplative is being renunciate. To be frank. That's what I'm saying. That disposition of the mind itself is amazing. Contemplative disposition of the mind is there, then there's renunciation, definitely. Because all wrong notions, in constant contemplation, all the wrong notions cannot have its place. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.